Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
We're now very blessed to have our brother Tim Adams actually come give us a message from God from this exquisite passage. So Tim, come on up. Tim's joining us from Oak Hill College. So I've asked Tim questions, which is, how can we pray for you this week? And maybe if you could share something that we could pray for you, and then we'll go ahead and pray now, and then you can share the message with us.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
It's really lovely to be back. It's been a few years. I was down the road in Maidenhead and used to come here from time to time. So it's lovely to see some familiar faces and lovely to see new faces as well. So I'm going into my final year at Oak Hill College, and I appreciate prayer for particularly this week, kind of coming into kind of a new year and kind of welcoming new people. Pray that the Lord would help me do that well. I think particularly looking ahead at this year, pray that as I study, and sometimes it can just feel like hard graft, pray that the Lord would be reminding me what I'm studying, that it's a privilege to see the Lord in the scriptures, to spend time thinking on him, and pray that that would be equipping me for ministry beyond. That would be lovely. Thank
Great.
You.
Yeah, thanks. Let's pray together for Tim. God, thank you so much for bringing Tim into our midst today and for putting this word in his heart to share with us. We want to be faithful stewards of what he's asked, because we know that being a student is difficult, this is going to be a challenging year for him as he's wrapping up. But Lord, especially put that fire in his heart, put that message in his mind that he's not just studying for studying's sake, but he's really learning about you and really preparing his soul for the ministry that you have prepared for him. Because we know that there's great works, great things that you have in store for him, and we just ask that you're faithful to him in that, and we know, God, that you will be. Thank you so much for calling us all here today. We know that it's not a coincidence that we've come here, and we ask that our hearts are open to hear your word, and that we are open to where your spirit will move us, and that the hard places in our heart will start to soften with your grace. We thank you for being a God who came to us, who runs to us, and we just ask that you be with us in this next time of our worship. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Tim.
Holly, thank you so much for reading that passage for us. Do keep that open. I'll be referring to it a bit through the following time together. The crowd begin to stir. It's him. It is really him. A shadow enters the stage. The spotlight turns on. It's the king. He's here. This king is unique. Not only a ruler of the people, but he's a magnificent songwriter. He picks up the microphone and he sings. He points to the heavens and starts with this line, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever." Verse after verse, he sings of the Lord's power and greatness, his glory and majesty, his compassion and grace, his faithfulness and love, closeness and care. This is no kind of performance to impress those watching on. It's a song from the heart. This praise that of God that is every day and forever for this king. He closes the song with an invitation. He sings, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." You see, the king that sings our psalm is certain. He's sure. He wants to sing it out loud to everyone that will hear that there is a God worth praising. In fact, a God so worth praising that he's never going to stop praising this God. This unending, unceasing praise for all eternity. And the question is for us today, will we join in? Will we join in this song of praise? Now, it might be already, you kind of heard a bit of the psalm this morning or this afternoon, and straight away you might have been thinking, I find it so hard to praise God in this time in my life. How could I possibly praise God when my life is so tough? When I feel this ill, when people treat me the way they do, when I feel so lonely? If that's you today, I'm sorry that life is difficult. And the Psalms for us in the Bible don't lead us to and tell us that actually your pain isn't real. No, they are here and they help us again and again. Again and again, the Psalms have laments where we can pour out our suffering. Pour out our pain before God. The Psalms don't tell us to get over it. No, more than anywhere, they help us to acknowledge our suffering and pain. But the Psalms at the same time tell us that through the tears, we can praise our God. The King in Psalm 145 says that there's never a day that will pass by that he won't praise God. And I take it this includes the rubbish days as well as the wonderful ones. You see, this king is not naive to suffering. I wonder if maybe you noticed in the title of the psalm, it was a psalm of praise of David. The person who wrote this psalm, the hand who wrote it, is King David. But if you know anything of David's life, you'll be very aware that he's not the one that sings this praise of God every single day. You see, no one has done that. I don't know about you, but I know there's no way that every day of my life there's this song of praise of God going on. So many things creep in and get in the way. Yet there is one person who has sung this song perfectly. I read this written by a minister, and I thought he said it better than I could, so I'm just going to read it to you. He says, "About 1,000 years after David, a boy sung the Psalms in the synagogue. And as he grew, a child, a youth, a young man, every time he heard the call to praise in the Psalms, he met it with an answering cry from his own heart. Yes, yes, yes. I will do that. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. I will." And he did. With every word of his lips, each action of his life, and every affection of his heart, he gave glory to the Father and proclaimed how great he was. You see, our lead singer of this psalm is Jesus Christ, a man who knew suffering better than any person since. And yet he still says, "I will praise your name, O God, forever and ever." He just can't help but praise God. So we ask, what is it about his God, Jesus Christ, God, that he will sing this praise forever and ever? What is it so worthy of praise? Well, there's loads of things, and I just want to bring out a few for us today. He starts by singing that the Lord is great and mighty. If you look down at verse 3 with me, he sings, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." We cannot comprehend the size and magnificence of God. A few weeks back, well, maybe more like a month back, I went to the North Norfolk coast with my family. And one day when we went out to the beach, I don't know if you remember what the weather was like a month ago. Well, we went out to the sea, and all we could see was this kind of enormous patch of sea, grey, with splashing water everywhere. As far as we could see near the horizon, the water was breaking. The power of the wind was all we could hear as water crashed in front of us. And in that moment, I thought, in this enormous patch of water, the Lord controls it all with his hands. Yet there's more than that. When you think about it, this enormous patch of water is only a small fraction of the seas around the globe. I read a few weeks ago that the seas that make up our world contain 320 million cubic miles of water. Can't get your head around that much water, yet the Lord holds all that in his hands. His greatness no one can fathom. In verse 4, Christ sings that generation after generation cannot help but tell of the mighty works of God. Imagine with me, person after person, century after century, gathered, I don't know, around the fire, walking the streets, whatever it might be, telling each other of the mighty works of God. Maybe they speak of the mighty works of creation. God speaking planets, stars, moons into space. God making blue whales so big that their hearts apparently weigh the same as a cow. Enormous. God making mountains 10 times higher than our biggest building that we can possibly build at the moment. God making bears so strong that they can crush bowling balls in their mouths. Maybe around the campfire, they're speaking of the mighty works when God saved his people from Egypt in the Exodus. To rescue his people, God turned water into blood. He sent mighty hailstorms. He made it dark during the day. He made a path through the sea with walls of water on either side. He provided food from the heavens and water from rocks. Maybe we speak of the mighty works of God sending his Son. The Son of God, mighty and all-powerful, yet became a baby that we could hold. God's mighty works in sending that Son to die on a cross, squashing Satan, defeating death, smashing sin, and God raised him from the dead, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a mighty, mighty God we have. He is great and mighty. Christ goes on to sing that the Lord is glorious and compassionate. You see, our God sits on the throne of the greatest of kingdoms. He is king over a people who hail him as king, and his kingdom will never stop. Verse 13, if you look down at it, Christ sings, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. You see, we know that kingdoms and empires come and go. Kingdoms that at the time may have seemed kind of imperishable, now we kind of just read about in the history books. The Assyrian Empire, Roman Empires, Kingdom of Kush, Ottoman Empire, the list can go on and on. All kingdoms come and go, none will stand. Yet God's kingdom never disappears. God's reign will never cease. I don't know about you, but I find that truth to be so important to me. It's so easy to look around at churches, God's kingdom here in the UK, and think, is there really a great king ruling over his kingdom with church doors closing, a lack of young people, few people coming to faith, division amongst church leaders? It feels like God's kingdom is crumbling. It's going to be like the rest of them. Yet we do have a king who is ruling over an everlasting kingdom. I don't know if you know much about the church in Iran. Iran is one of the toughest places in the world to be a Christian. The Islamic regime there makes sure Christians are imprisoned. They lose their jobs. They can't get educated. Christians have to meet in kind of small house churches because of the danger. Yet the church in Iran is one of the fastest growing churches in the world. No matter how hard people, powers, men and women try to stop the growth of that church, it keeps growing. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. God's king is ruling over it. You think of where God's kingdom was after Jesus was arrested, died, buried, ascended, rose again and ascended to heaven, and there just remained just a small number of men and women. Yet now, God's kingdom has exploded to be around the entire world. It cannot be stopped. Christ thinks, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. For any kingdom to kind of last for a long time, you need people to kind of keep on being willing to have like the king as their king, if that makes sense. So obviously you need people to come into the kingdom, willing to bow the knee before the king and say, yes, I want you to be my king. And that's how a kingdom lasts and grows. And as we sit under that king, and I wonder if we're thinking, what is it about this king? What is it about God's kingdom that will last for eternity? Well, it's not the people. It's not just that, I guess, that it grows, but it is the person that is ruling that kingdom. You see, verse 8 says that king is the Lord, who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The thing that makes God's kingdom so attractive is that ruler who is supreme in power and might, yet shows compassion and grace on his subjects. In the book of Exodus, God had used his great power to rescue his people. And he had plucked them out of slavery in Egypt. And he had done so for a purpose, so that they would be his kingdom, his treasured possession, his holy nation. And despite all this, they turn elsewhere. They look to a golden statue and worship it, as if this was the God that saved them out of Egypt. And you might be wondering at that moment, what's God going to do? Is he going to start again? Is he going to destroy this people? Well, later on in Exodus, he declares this. He says who he is. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You see, billions of people have come into God's kingdom, and they are unworthy. They fail to hail him as king as they should, yet. They have, even though they have betrayed that king, yet the Lord forgives them, invites them in, and welcomes them. He says, I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You see, this Lord is glorious and compassionate. Christ continues to sing, the Lord is loving and faithful. Verse 15, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hands and satisfy the desires of every living thing. This is a bit random, but I wonder whether sometimes we can think of God a bit like an emperor penguin. So emperor penguins care for their young until their young are 5 months old. And then from 5 months, the young penguins are left to fend for themselves. So these penguins, every bit of food that they have is earned by them. Every danger avoided has to be earned by that young penguin. And I wonder whether in the same way we can think God kind of provides for us a bit like that. Kind of in some moments of our life, he provides and gives us what we need. But the rest of it, kind of up to us. You need to earn it. But Christ sings in our psalm that the eyes of all look to him. Every single person looks to God, and he gives them their food at the proper time. You see, throughout our lives, everything we have is provided for by God. He never abandons us to fend for ourselves. He gives us food and possessions, family and friends, sport and music, happiness and laughter, beauty and comfort, work and sleep. All is given by the Lord. None is earned by us. The Lord is faithful in all he does. And Christ sings more, and this is the final thing we're going to pick up on. Christ sings that the Lord is close and caring. Verse 18, if you look down at it. The Lord is near to all who call on him. In 2018, Jess Glynn got one of her songs to number one in the UK charts. It was called I'll Be There. And she, in this song, it kind of makes some. She makes some very big claims. She says, "When you're lost in darkness, I'll be there. I'll be there when your heart is breaking. You'll never be alone. I'll be there for you. I'll be there." You see, Jess Glynn is hitting on something that we all need and something that we all want: someone to be with us through thick and thin. The issue is that she cannot, no matter how hard she tries, she can't fulfill her promises. She's limited. There's no way that she can be there at all times for someone. Yet when God makes this promise, he really will be. He really can sing, I'll be there. The reality is that God is stood by our side at all times. When you go to sleep at night and when you wake up in the morning, in our moments of fear, doubt, sadness and concern, in our moments of joy, faith, gladness and delight, at all times, God is there. If you were someone at the start who was thinking, how could I possibly praise God when I'm experiencing all this suffering and pain? Well, I wonder whether this truth might be great comfort and delight to you. The Lord is near you when you call on him. The Lord watches over you. And the thing that blows my mind is that the God who is near, the God who watches over all who love him, is the same God that Christ sings of throughout this psalm. You see, the God who is with you at all times is the God who created everything with his words, who rescued his people from Egypt, who sent his son to rescue us today, who reigns over the everlasting kingdom, who is compassionate and welcomes all into his kingdom, who provides every good gift in this world. That is the God who is stood by us today, who is with us every day. And it's kind of no wonder that Christ ends this song by saying, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." And I hope the application is obvious to us today. It's this question: will we join in the praises given by Jesus Christ? You see, to join in Christ's praise is not only kind of singing here on a Sunday. Yeah, it definitely is, partly. It's singing with our hearts, wholeheartedly, this praise and delight of God. But it's more than that. To sing and join in Christ's unending and unceasing praise means praising God on a Monday evening. It means praising God when the day's been wonderful and when the day's been rubbish. It's praising God in song. It's praising God in the quietness of our hearts. It's praising God as we talk to others. And perhaps you'll ask, and I think you're right to ask, how can we do that? If you're anything like me, we don't do that. And no matter how hard I try, there's so many days where I fail to join in this song. It's not just kind of willpower that is going to get me to this kind of unending and unceasing praise of God. But I think Christ helps us so much to make progress in this area, in this psalm. I think Christ inspires us to join in. At the college that I study at, I share kind of an office with someone who absolutely loves golf. Now, I've never really been that fussed about golf, but sharing an office with him, it kind of the regular talking about it, he loves it so much, it's like kind of contagious. It's taken me just a kind of a year or so to get me out on my first round of golf. I'm now the very, very proud owner of kind of an extremely second-hand set of golf clubs. But it's as I've kind of seen his love that I've grown to enjoy it a bit myself. And I think this psalm is to work similarly for us. As Christ sings his absolute delight and love in the God that he knows so well, it's to be infectious, contagious in us. As we see and hear Christ's delight in the God that he knows so really and so kind of closely, is to lead us naturally to sing the praises along with him. You see, I wonder whether kind of at times, I don't know, whether life is kind of, can be a bit like kind of walking through a fog, where at times it feels that everything is close and surrounding us are the things that just kind of weigh us down. They might be good things like, I don't know, the things to do, people to see, busyness. It might be hard things like stress and pain. All these things surround us. Day after day, realities that can be all-consuming. But in this psalm, we hear of a king who sees the sun that is beyond that fog. You see, he knows that beyond the fog is this sun shining in all its brilliance, in all its beauty and majesty. And he sees it so much clearer than we do. We have moments where we might see the rays of light through kind of through the fog. Yet we don't see it fully like he does. He knows that God out there in his majesty, his beauty, his wonder, his glory, his greatness. He knows God in his fullness, yet we see him in part. And it's as we trust in Christ who sings of that sun, It's as we hear him sing through this psalm that it leads us naturally to join in. Join in trust that one day the fog will lift. One day we will get to see the sun fully face to face. One day we will join fully in this unending and unceasing praise of God for all eternity. It is that which helps us sing praise today and forevermore. I wonder whether, practically speaking, it might look kind of in a practical way. It might look like over the coming weeks and days where you open up this psalm, Psalm 145, look at a verse, read it, kind of pause, think, remind yourself that this is the reality of who God is, the sun beyond the fog, and join in Christ's praise in that moment. Maybe you go through the day and then that evening you open up the psalm and you look at the same verse again and you remind yourself, this is the reality of who God is, and you praise him. Brothers and sisters, our God is mighty and great, glorious and compassionate, loving and faithful, close and caring. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.